So that was your equivalent of 1 kilometer run. So I'll talk about the Cameroon Bioethics Initiative, how it has evolved over time, some of the activities we do, and how we operate. So my slides are in French, but I'll speak in English. But Ghislaine is there, so Ghislaine may come in when necessary. So the reason we also have this presentation with our SNECFA partners is because much of what we have been doing under the SNECFA project falls in line with the objectives of CAMBIN. But CAMBIN is the Cameroon chapter of the Pan-African Bioethics Initiative, which was created in 2001 in Lusaka, Zambia, and had 40 participants present in 15 African countries, of which Cameroon was one of those countries. So, CAMBIN falls under the WHO Strategic Initiative for Developing Capacity for Ethics Review in Africa. And it has, WHO program has equivalent in other parts of the world, like in Asia and Western Pacific. In North America, it's called FOCUS. In the former Russian states, in Africa, it is called the Pan-African Bioethics Initiative. And what is the strategic plan of CAMBIN? The first strategic plan of CAMBIN was to develop research ethics committees in Africa and to maintain a registry of these ethics committees. And a number of initiatives have tried to create a registry. The African Academy of Sciences created one registry to support clinical trials. We had the HRO web, which as part of SNECFA also, the committees have tried to register there. And so there are many initiatives that have tried to create a registry, but I think that sustainability has been a big problem. The second strategic plan of CAMBIN was to develop competent systems for the evaluation of research ethics protocols, health research ethics protocols at the national level. And much work has also been done in that regard. Sometimes it has been done by national governments, other times it has been through projects. And SNECFA is one of those projects actually trying to build the capacity to evaluate protocol from of national ethics committees. And as Jero mentioned before, as part of SNECFA, you have four countries who are actually developing standard operating procedures for their committees. A third strategic plan of CAMBIN is to have a unified African voice in bioethics. So basically to say, how do we ensure that there is an African voice in bioethics? And the argument was that concepts in bioethics or principles were mainly informed by that of the Western world, and was there something different that the continent could contribute to? And the fourth was to develop research ethics training in African countries. And again, we have a number of initiatives that are doing that. So for example, as part of the SNECFA project, which Jero mentioned, you have the TREE program, and the TREE program, also supported by the EDCTP, has developed a training course for research ethics. So that's not to say that we do not need more training courses, but to say that this is what PABIN's, that is a strategic plan, and if we buy into this plan, these are some of the things that we should be doing. Just let it, you want to say? The next strategic plan is to develop training for good clinical practice and health research ethics, and to integrate this training in university programs. I think that that has not really been achieved to a very large extent across Africa. So we still have many universities that do not have a dedicated training program in research ethics or in good clinical practice. Sometimes people touch it as part of the research methodology, but it's not a dedicated course. At other times, they have to bring in people to train. So this particular one, there is a huge gap in integrating research ethics and good clinical practice into our university programs. So those of you who are educators, perhaps this is something that you could take up for your different universities. I also wanted to the next strategic plan of PABIN was to create a system for accrediting national ethics committees in Africa. And there is still no formal plan in place for the accreditation of national ethics committees. But at the national level, some countries have taken up this task. So you have, for example, COSTECH in Uganda will accreditate ethics committees in the country. But at the continental level, there is still no plan for the accreditation of ethics committees. So this is something that we should be thinking of going forward, whether we want to pull forces together as a continent, or whether we want to do it at the national level. So for example, should we have a clear system for accrediting research ethics committees in Cameroon? And what should that system look like? So when in terms of accreditation, we've had the FWA, and Jerry mentioned that, primarily a very US-focused system, and I have some reservations for that, but we could do it, and we don't really need to reinvent the wheel, but we could say, what is it there that works for us? And Jerry mentioned the issue of gender, culture, and all of that. Those are requirements of the FWA. But sometimes I'm also reminded that the gender requirements may not be met in certain countries because of their religious beliefs and practices. So if we go by that accreditation system, then it may not work for certain communities. And that's not specific to Africa, but to say, as the continent, what is it that is of interest to us? So this is still a huge gap, but it's all up to all of us attending this meeting to see how do we want to move through. But PABIN was like, we need to put forth a pan-African phase and actually accredited national ethics committees. And I think it's really a good thing to have national ethics committees that function at the same level. And we saw the importance of this during COVID, because if we had national ethics committees functioning at the same level, same degree of accreditation, the review of cross-country studies would have been relatively easier. The last strategic plan for PABIN is to create a forum for the exchange of ideas, so for academic discussions on research ethics and bioethics in Africa and internationally. So when we say Africa, we don't isolate ourselves, but to say how do we go with the global initiatives. And again, that is why we are here, actually pushing some of the objectives of PABIN. And so as part of this NECFA workshop over the next 2 days, You have researchers and ethics committee members sitting in one room. I understand that some of them wear two caps. They are researchers and then they are research ethics committee members. But actually just discussing these issues. And in the next few slides, I'll show you how Cambin has contributed both to the national and international discourse in bioethics.
Okay, jusqu'ici, le docteur Cynthia a établi une relation entre Cambin et Pabin pour dire que Cambin est né de Pabin, qui est l'initiative panafricaine de bioéthique en 2001, autant pour moi, et que Pabin a des objectifs spécifiques pour la recherche et la bioéthique en Afrique. Et parmi ces objectifs, il y a la formation en éthique qui manque beaucoup dans les pays africains, l'harmonisation des pratiques pour les comités nationaux d'éthique et surtout le point de vue africain sur le débat bioéthique. Parce que la plupart des recommandations, la plupart des textes qui sont faits en bioéthique sont faits dans une perspective occidentale. Voilà pourquoi Dr Cynthia pose la question de l'accréditation. Qu'est-ce qu'on doit faire en tant qu'Africain en ce qui concerne l'accréditation, les accréditations nationales? Est-ce que nous devons copier systématiquement ce qui se passe en Occident ou alors nous devons l'adapter à nos cultures? Par exemple, la question du genre ne sera pas applicable dans tous les pays de la même manière. Donc il y a le besoin de formation dans les universités et le besoin d'harmonisation des pratiques dans les comités nationaux pour gérer les pandémies et les situations de crise et surtout mettre sur pied des plateformes d'échange entre les chercheurs en Afrique.
Thanks, Jocelyn. So, just some basic information. Cambin is a non-governmental, non-profit organization created in 2005 and officially legalized in 2006. Its objectives remain the same as Pabin, but with much more focus on the national level. So I will not repeat those objectives because they are very similar to that of Pabin. So Cambin continues to maintain a voice in bioethics in the country. So I'm showing you this publication for two reasons. The first is that sometimes it's okay to dare. It's not okay to be in your comfort zone. Sometimes you could dare. And when we wrote this paper, we're actually questioning the state of research ethics in Cameroon. And we're questioning that in light of the growing number of health research projects. And our observation was that nothing really had changed. And our view also was that we need some structural and operational changes in research ethics review in Cameroon. Prof. Tangwa, I don't know if your view has changed, if you think that some changes have happened over time. It's been more than 10 years since we wrote this article. Of course, some changes have happened. We've seen some changes at the level of the National Ethics Committee. I would have loved to see more, but it would be good to hear from you over the time and other Cambin members who were there when we wrote this paper, whether they think that we are no longer spot jogging. Perhaps we are now sprinting as well, but it will be good to hear your objectives on that. But the second reason I'm putting it up is that for those attending this Cambin meeting, but from different countries, is to say that we've started here as our own reflection. It's a document, it's a paper that brings policy changes. So this brought some policy changes. And there are members here from Guinea, Chad, Niger, Mali. Perhaps this is something you want to write for your country. Perhaps you want to sit and reflect, what is the state of research ethics in Niger? Are we making progress? What is the state of research ethics in Chad, in Guinea? Are we making progress? Where do we want to take it forward from there? So I think unless we sit and reflect and make those recommendations, it is hard to drive a national agenda. So I really encourage you. One of the primary reasons I'm putting that up to say, think about after this meeting whether you want to write a short piece, a reflection on the state of research ethics in your different countries. But not just what has happened. And it's nice about perspective papers. It's okay to get angry. You can get angry, but end up with key recommendations that you think your ministries can take up and actually be progressive with research ethics in your country.
Okay, Dr. Cynthia a présenté une publication qui porte sur l'état de la recherche en bioéthique au Cameroun. Et elle exhorte les participants à cet atelier à le faire davantage dans leur pays respectif pour évaluer, parce que si on n'évalue pas l'état de la recherche, on ne saura pas si on avance ou si on recule. Et il ne s'agira pas seulement de dire ce qui a été fait, il s'agira au-delà de ce qui a été fait de proposer des recommandations afin que les différents ministères puissent agir en ce qui concerne l'évaluation de la recherche dans leurs différents pays.
Thanks. So we will be looking forward to your papers. The second voice in Cameroon, I'm not going to be exhaustive, I just want to give examples because this is how you may want to proceed in your different countries for those who are attending this meeting from different countries, is that Cambin signed a memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Public Health in Cameroon. And that was in 2014. And the basis of that collaboration was to create a platform for regular discussions in bioethics. Over this time, we've taken advantage of the Synexo project. And the last time we were here, we actually did discuss with Professor Mbacham, who leads the National Ethics Committee in Cameroon, about how to advance this particular objective. And we were looking at, about talking of things around digital health and vaccines, because it's a growing issue, and vulnerability, which actually coincides with the revisions that are happening for the Declaration of Helsinki. So we're trying to do that, and we hope that we can push that through. The promotion of research ethics in the country for researchers, for the community and the public, I think SNEFA has managed to do that, and so we can confidently say that we are trying to keep that objective set by the Ministry of Public Health. And the training of researchers, and I think I've also done that for different initiatives, which I will show you later. So at the international level, Cambin continues to make contributions, and I'm highlighting this particular one because Cambin contributed to the WHO standards and operational guidance for ethics review of health research with human participants. And we have a number of members here who contributed to this document. So we have Dr. Che, Dr. Ukwebwae, Dr. Tosan, Prof. Tangwa, who contributed to this document. And there's a nice story about this, which is how you can sustain initiatives in very small ways. So after this contribution, we revised the Cambin ERCC SOPs, and there was a publication on Small is Beautiful. And after a couple of years, we then used that particular initiative or that revised document or SOPs, and it is what is now being used for the SNEFA project to develop standard operating procedures for Niger, Chad, and Mali, and SNESH in Cameroon. So sometimes it may be little work, but it will go over time. So we did this close to 10 years back, but now we can see that there's a ripple effect actually going past Cameroon. So sometimes we don't see how those baby steps become big things, but it's good to remind ourselves that the little things we do are creating a ripple effect.
Ok, sur le plan, Cambin a fait des contributions pour le développement de la bioéthique sur le plan national et sur le plan international. Sur le plan national, il y a un accord de partenariat avec le ministère de la Santé qui consiste à promouvoir la bioéthique, la recherche médicale au Cameroun, à évaluer la recherche aussi et à mettre sur pied des plateformes d'échange sur les procédures d'évaluation de la recherche. Sur le plan international, Cambin a contribué à la mise sur pied des lignes directrices dans le cadre des protocoles de recherche, des avancées protocoles de recherche par l'OMS. Voilà pourquoi il y a certains membres de la Cambin qui sont cités là sur le document que vous voyez de l'OMS qui ont contribué à l'élaboration de ces procédures opérationnelles standards. Et après avoir produit ce document, Cambin a aussi publié un article intitulé More is Beautiful, plus c'est petit, plus c'est beau. Et c'est à partir de ce document que Cambin a pu contribuer à la formation des autres comités d'éthique dans le projet SNECFA au Niger, au Mali, au Tchad, pour la mise sur pied de leurs propres procédures opérationnelles standards.
I wouldn't talk much about this, but Cambin operates an ethics review and consultancy committee, which reviews protocols. And so I wouldn't talk much about that, but we do have a submission process that is very similar to many national research ethics committees. And because this was developed based on the SOPs, we think that it would be very similar for countries that adopted the Small is Beautiful model. So in terms of, I've skipped quite a lot, but that's because I've talked about them more in my previous slide, so I don't want to repeat them. But also, how Cambin is contributing to developing ethics capacity in Africa. So Cambin has been part of different projects. So Cambin was had a hub for AMANET, the African Malaria Network Trust, and it facilitated through that hub research ethics training for researchers and research ethics committee members across Africa. Cambin also contributed to the Kantan project, and on this slide, it's just a poster of that work between Kantan, AMANET, and Cambin, and was titled A Winning Trial for Promoting Health Research Ethics in Central Africa. There is a publication on this actually, so if you would like to read it, we are happy to provide that. But again, what I want to show is that continue with the initiatives that you start, right? And try to see where there are areas of synergies. Don't work in silos, because there's not so much funding for research ethics. So if you want to go alone on a project without interacting with other projects, there's very little you can do. In 2015, we had an EDCTP project as well that focused on Central Africa. So we had Gabon in that as well, apart from Gabon, Chad, Central African Republic, and Cameroon, and it involved the training of research ethics committee members and researchers, and today we are with SNECFA. So again, you see it's baby steps, but we keep growing one initiative from one level to the other, making sure that we have a sum fruits at the end. And recently we had a webinar, and this was a dissemination webinar on research ethics committees in Francophone West and Central Africa. And we had representatives from Niger, from Mali, from Chad, and from Cambin, moderated by Dr. Besa, actually present the state of research ethics in their different countries. So I also want to take this opportunity to thank them for adding their voice to the African bioethics discourse. But again, this is another, those presentations that you made is another opportunity to develop them further so that people can read about ethics in your country. So what I know is that it's really hard to find literature on what is happening in research ethics in Francophone Africa. And that's not because work is not being done there. I think it's just not being documented. So we need to take advantage of that. So I want to thank the colleagues in Mali, Niger, and Chad who actually did a brilliant job with this webinar. I always end with this, and I promise you this is my last slide, to say that as we move forward also, we must think, where are we coming from and where are we going? And what is there, and how can we build on what is there? And so I've just listed a number of initiatives that are funding research ethics capacity strengthening in Africa. So we can think of AVAREF, it's focused mainly on vaccines. We can think of the many EDCTP projects, we can think of TREE, we have SNEP for now, so this is not an exhaustive list, right? But the question I want to ask, and that's based on my own personal observation, is that most of these initiatives are doing the same thing. We keep on training research ethics committee members, or we're building infrastructure, and this has been happening for the past 10 years. Why are we not making progress? What changes need to happen? Or is it something that is just not working and we've decided to stay there and just keep jogging on the same spot? Or what needs to be done differently? What are we missing? Why is it that we have the same initiative every time building capacity for research ethics committees? In the same countries, next year we'll have another. In one country you'll have almost three, but in the next 2 years you'll have another. So what is it that we are not doing right, and how can we make progress? So I think that over today, and for those staying for the Seneca workshop in the next 2 days, I encourage you to reflect on some of these so that we can make progress as a continent. So thank you very much for listening.
Je me sens dans l'obligation de traduire la dernière question parce qu'elle est fondamentale pour ceux qui n'ont pas compris. Depuis plus de 10 ans, les comités nationaux d'éthique ont les mêmes programmes de renforcement des capacités. Ils sont financés différemment, tantôt par SNICFA, tantôt par TRI, AVAREF, mais c'est toujours les mêmes objectifs qui sont fixés. Et pourquoi est-ce qu'on ne peut pas agir différemment? Est-ce qu'il n'y a pas lieu de voir ce qui n'a pas marché pour pouvoir proposer d'autres pistes en dehors de la piste déjà connue du renforcement des capacités ?